Okay, let's continue our teaching, understanding the prophetic. Remember, we were talking about Moses, and then we took a small detour from the life of Moses to begin to talk about the matter of prophecy. I want to say it again. I started by explaining that prophecy is different from predicting. A prediction is when you make an extrapolation based on the facts that you have observed. All right? Nobody's talking about the fact whether it's good or bad. But the fact that you observe something and then you make extrapolations based on it, that's prediction. But a prophecy is different. A prophecy is creative. Do you understand that? A prophecy is what? It's creative. It's not predicting the event. It's telling you what it's going to do because the thing has been said. All right? So that if you have a situation, all right, and you observe it, and like I say to us all the time, what we do most times as human beings is that we pass comments. We pass comments. You know, I was discussing with some people last night. We've had two sets of people. One, we had a lot of arguments. All right, but you see, and if, at the end, I told you, Koyinka was with me. I said, I don't know why I was even arguing with these people. I said it before that I stopped arguing long ago. And it was a matter of the country. And they were explaining why they are going to divide the country. I said, where are you going to divide? Where are you going to divide it? Where will be your dividing line? All right, and I realized, according to Mike Murdoch, all right, whoever is transferring information is transferring his own bias, and that works all the time. I know I have my own bias. I'm a Christian. There are things I believe. All right? So we see, we're having the argument, and we're saying, look, forget it, nobody's dividing anything. But you see, the mistake I made, which I told Yinkado, why did I make that mistake of arguing with this guy? Because you see, my own is not, I don't deduce really. My life is not about deducing, all right? It's not deductions from the things that you can see. We create by the word of God. So you look at the situation and it looks like it's going to divide. So you say to it, do not divide. Are you getting my point? So a prediction is that it will divide. We have seen things that should make it divide. But a prophecy is that the word of God said it will not divide. Therefore, no matter what we see, it will not divide. Quickly go to the book of Isaiah chapter 34, one of my favorite scriptures to explain this issue of prophecy again. All right, I just want to use the one to review the things that we have said in previous times so that we can understand it. Prophecies are not predictions. They are what? They are creative. They are creative. They produce the event. People, like I was saying, the mistake we make is that we pass comments based on what our eyes have seen. But the Bible makes it clear to us that this is the way the word of the Lord is. That's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will not judge after the seeing of his eyes or the hearing of his ears, but he will judge with what? Righteous judgment. If you go and read that Isaiah chapter 34 from verse 16. Now, before we read verse 16, what he was saying, that he was describing the judgments that God was going to bring upon the land. Imagine, let's take a scenario like this. You go to a very beautiful city or a place like Lagos, yes, not because of the beauty, but because of the population of human beings and the concrete jungle that it has become. You don't expect to find wild animals there. You understand my point? And so the Lord was speaking about what he was going to do to the cities and to the nations that he was going to judge. He now said that you are going to get to the land and you will find wild animals. He said that, if you read in verse 11, the pelican and hedgehog shall possess it. This was a land that was populated, all right, by human beings and was well built up. He said all of those things. In verse 14, he said, and the desert creatures shall meet with the wolves, and the hairy goat also shall cry to its kind. Say, yes, the night monster shall settle there and shall find herself a resting place. The tree snake shall make his nest. And if you read in verse later on, he said, yes, the hawks shall be gathered there. That's verse 15. Everyone with its kind, that is, it will be male and female. He now said, listen, what he was saying in effect is this. This does not look likely. This is not the thing that you expect in such a well-built place. He said, so why is it going to happen? Read verse 16. And that's why I said, I want us to read verse 16 and 17. He says, seek from the book of the Lord and read. None of these will be missing, all right? None will lack its mate. For his mouth has what? Commanded. All right, I'm using the New American Standard. It says, the mouth of the Lord has commanded, therefore his spirit has gathered them. Please, that's verse 16, is very important. That is, no matter how unlikely something looks, if the mouth of the Lord commands it, his spirit will go out and gather them. A prediction is that we look at things that are natural and we can deduce based on the experience we have with the events on the earth. But a prophecy is not like that. A prophecy is that we look at what is there. We don't like what is there. So we begin to speak so that what we are saying, all right, will be produced. Please, I need to invite, I know I've said this thing in this place hundreds of times. That's the mistake we make as Christians. In a nation like Nigeria, the Lord said, you are the salt of the earth. He said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. What was that saying? And that's what I want to talk about today. In fact, my message today is titled, what? God's prophets. All right? What did I call it? God's prophet. He said, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. That's why where I got it from, Psalm 105. God's prophets. That is, in every nation, God has his people. Very important. And who are the people that are God's prophets? All right? It's not just those who have an anointing of the prophet over them or upon them, like we look at them today. If you go and read the book of Ephesians chapter 4, where he said he gave gifts unto men. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. All right? For the edifying of the saints. That is not what we are talking about at all. In fact, let's quickly read that one. All right? I'll connect what I'm trying to correct us concerning in this matter of a nation. Psalm 105, quickly. The book of Psalms 105. Like I said, where I want is verse 15, but let me just read in context. He said in verse 8, in fact, and the context is important so that we'll understand. In fact, let's start from verse 1. I'm not going to read everything. I'm going to verse 15. I'll jump here and there. Okay? It was talking about giving thanks to God and giving glory to his holy name. That's in verse 3. He now said, remember his wonders, verse 5, which he has done, his judgments, his marvels, and the judgments uttered by his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. The covenant, please follow this, which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac. Then he confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion of your inheritance. He said this when they were only a few men in number, very few and strangers in that land, all right, in it. And they wandered from nation to nation. And you read that story about Abraham, you read about Isaac, and it happened to Jacob and the nation of Israel also. They went from one nation to another. He said, from one kingdom to another people. Now, while they were doing all of this, verse 14, he permitted no man to oppress them. He reproved kings for their sakes. Remember the story of Abimelech, both in the life of Abraham and in the life of Isaac. He said, how did he do that? He said, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Please, that's why I read that, verse 15. He said, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. It's important we read this and we remember the story of the lives of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the nation of Israel. There was never a time, all right, somebody like Simeon was called a prophet. In fact, Jacob himself, you don't see that word used. Maybe I miss one place or the other, but I'm not really sure I remember that word being used about Jacob himself. I remember it used only once about Abraham. And that was when God was rebuking Abimelech. He said, you have taken the wife of that man and all of that. And he said to Abimelech, he is a prophet. Are you getting my point? Now, the man never spoke one day and said, thus says the Lord. You understand my point? Jacob never spoke up one day and said, thus says the Lord. Same thing with Isaac and the people of Israel, all right? Amongst them, they had individual prophets. But you see, you don't see a typical man there being called a prophet. All right, but the Lord was speaking here. He said, this was what I commanded concerning them. I said, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. We know, therefore, in this context, that all those men were prophets. Now, what are prophets? Now, somebody explained this to me long ago in this particular context. What are prophets? He said that prophets are those who the Lord shapes the events of the earth around. That is, if God wants to do something to Abraham, if he wants Abraham to move, he can create a famine here. Now, there may be thousands of people there, but the only person for whose sake the famine came will be Abraham. Are you getting my point? If he wants the land, if he wants Abraham to be blessed, he will pour rain upon the place. There are hundreds of people there, but the only person whose presence drew that rain down was Abraham. Please, it's very important. You see, you know, I've been saying it again and again. I wrote a tract, Are We All Equal Before God? And the answer in that tract is obvious. No, we are not. People say that we are all the same in the eyes of God. I don't know why people, you know, just wake up and say things that appear morally sound, but they are scripturally inaccurate. They are not accurate. An example I like to give all the time is that many men died, and the Bible said Job was being tempted. The servants had wives and they had children. Those ones were not being tempted. Many men died. Job was being tempted. What about the servants that died? Are you getting my point? David sinned against God. 70,000. How many thousand men died? None of them in his household. And he was the one that sinned against God. You've heard me say it before. I will say it again. We are not all the same. And one vow I made to God those days is that my life, you are not going to kill me for the sin of another person. If you want to kill me, make sure I sinned and I'm being judged. But don't say you want to tempt Israel. You behead Pastor Banky. What kind of temptation is that? Of course, there are technicalities to making that statement. Not just to get up and say, no, I don't want it. You want it, you don't want it. It's not what matters. It's how you live your life before God. It's a personal relationship that you have with God that separates you from one person, all right? It separates one person from the rest of the peoples around him. Very important. It's how that person is walking with God. And those are the people he called his prophets. He shapes the events of the earth around them. Very important that we understand it. So you find out that a place like Enugu is going to be blessed, not because there are 1 million people there that God loves so much. It will be because there are 15, 20 people there that God says, look, I don't want their car to spoil. He will tell the governor, go and tar the road. And you think, look, listen, that's why those who don't know God better hang around those who know him. You understand what I'm saying? Some things will drop. It's called crumbs falling from the children's table. It will drop into your hands. And that's a matter of fact. You know, I've been saying it again. Let me answer that thing I was trying to say. That's why Christians must be careful the way they talk in a nation. They must be careful. It's not because people who are saying things that they are saying, it's not that they are not seeing what they claim to be seeing. It is because their own words may be normal, may be average, may be nothing. But for you and for me, our words are powerful. All right, and there are two sides to the power in our words. What I mean is this: there's a positive, direct power. That is, you use it, it works. And then there is a one of neglect. If you don't use it, it is used against you. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. That is, if things are scattering and you say, look at how everything is scattering, you are not saying anything to bring order into the thing that's happening. The Bible says that he that is slothful in business is brother to him that destroys. That's what Solomon said. That the one who is slothful in business is the same as the person who is actively destroying. So when you sit down and look and say, what is going on? We don't know. And you go about your normal business. You understand my point? You are being negligent in your business. When the Lord came to the earth, don't forget that story. Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says the earth was without form and it was void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. God didn't just sit down there and say, can you imagine the kind of nonsense that is happening around here? I don't believe this kind of thing happened. Why should there be darkness upon the surface of the deep? I mean, why should the whole place be without form and void? This is voidness, and I don't understand this kind of voidness. This is formlessness. What is causing all this formlessness? Look at darkness, formlessness, voidness, everything just causing confusion all over the place. I mean, Gabriel, I don't understand this kind of... Did this do that? No, the Spirit was hovering over the surface of the waters. The Spirit was incubating what it was going to produce. And when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. So when the heart of the Lord was full, something erupted out of him. You know, I've been saying that in all the time, that God didn't speak English. He just, something just came out, and Moses said, let there be light. Do you know, I was reading my Bible over the weekend, and something, that's a few days ago, something struck me. That Jesus said, glorify thy son, and God said, I've glorified, I will glorify it again. And the people said, it thundered. That is what they heard. When God spoke, what they heard was... And somebody said, it's thunder. Someone said, no. An angel spoke. Someone said, God spoke. And very few people could decipher what he said. I was reading a few days ago. I said, oh, I've been saying this in all this. I didn't even know there was a direct reference in the scriptures to prove that the thing I'm saying is correct. Of course, there are other references. And the Bible said his voice is like the voice of many waters. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. So what was inside him erupted. It came out as, let there be light. And he put order into it. So people sit down in Nigeria of today, They say, Jonathan is not doing anything. He's clueless. Can you imagine after, how many years has he been in office? I don't know. But after all these months he has been in office, he has not been able to catch Boko Haram. Can you imagine Boko Haram? It's just Boko Haram in everything. Can you imagine power? Power has been quite constant over the last few weeks. And everybody has shut their mouths. Nobody is saying rank candidate. Oh, they've kept their mouth. It's an evil spirit that is disturbing people. The Bible says the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. That's why they talk nonsense. So, a lot of people, that's what they just do. But listen to me. I always direct, of course, my commandments to believers. All right? My instructions of the word of God to Christians. God said, listen, I know what you are seeing. I know it. But listen, what you are going to see tomorrow is a result of what you are prophesying into it today. It's not the commentary you are running. Hey, I know I've said this thing many times, but I can't say it enough. That is, you must resist the temptation to prophesy, what they call, soothsay like the Philistines. Because that's why God abandons his people. You must resist that temptation. The story I like to tell all the time, I've told it 1,000 times, but I now tell it at least 50,000 more times. Because it's so instructive. Terry Mize wanted to marry Jackie Mize. And Jackie Mize said straight to Terry Mize that, listen, I'm not going to marry. He said, why not? Now I love you, baby, marry me. No, you know this kind of story. He said, I can't have children. He said, well, what do you mean you can't have children? He said, the doctors said. And the guy said, the doctors don't know anything. People say, we have to be wise. We have to be wise. You see, wisdom depends on what you know. Are you getting my point? What you call wisdom, it depends on what you know. When all you know is what doctors say, yes, it's wisdom. To obey them and say, sorry, I can't marry this girl, she can't have children. The guy said to her simply, forget it. Those guys don't know what they are saying. I know something greater than what they know. So he began to prophesy. My own scripture there. He said, God, you are the one that makes barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. Not what the doctor said. Are you getting my point? My favorite scripture for married women, especially pregnant people, Isaiah 66 verse 9. He said, how did it go again? Anyway, go and read it. Isaiah 66 verse 9. I always give it to every woman who says she's pregnant. The man began to prophesy it upon the woman. The woman had children. I think she had one, had two, had three. I'm not sure she ended with three or ended with four. That was a woman who the doctor said. People say maybe the doctors were mistaken. Listen, when prophetic words begin to occur, we'll start looking for reasons, all right, to explain their manifestation. What's my emphasis again? It's the duty. Please, somebody say a duty. If you're in a country like Nigeria, it's a duty. And I'm so happy for in this place, we've been doing it for a very long time. This power, we prophesied to power so much that it has no choice. Even if God, if Jesus wanted to return, all right, next week, he will switch on our life permanently from now till next week. That word may be fulfilled that we have uttered. It's what? A duty. They say, can you imagine? And Nigeria police, that's commentary. But we have a duty to what? Put order. God saw that the police force was without form and it was void. Therefore, he spoke to the situation and police force arranged. That's the duty of Christians. It's what? The duty of believers. I want to just remind us of that, okay? So I can get into the main thing I want to do today. So remember what we're saying? He said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Who are the prophets of God? I'm emphasizing to us again, we are not all the same. Everybody on the street, we are different. Amongst the people you find on the streets, there are the people that are special. And God, if you read that first Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he explained to them, you are a special people, you are a peculiar people, you are a holy nation. God called you out. And listen, the events of the earth were arranged to produce and cooperate with the purpose of God for those people. Are you getting my point? That is, if God says, okay, let me rearrange things. Say, okay, let there be famine all over the land. Why? Because my people, they need to move down to Egypt and, one story. when he wants to move. In fact, you know, when God brought Cyrus as a king to come and replace Nebuchadnezzar, when he brought in the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, it was so that he would let the oppressed of the people of God go free. So when it was time to set them free, he said, I need a new king that will let them go. You've heard me say it again and again. In this country, even if you demand and they appoint you governor or president, you will bless me. That is, you will make policies that will cooperate with the manifestation of divine blessing in my life. If you won't, you will die suddenly. So that as Nebuchadnezzar is removed, or his son, another king will come replace him to make his oppressed go free. That's how prophetic words work. So it's our duty. That's what I'm saying. Anything you see in life, you speak to it. We don't sit down and be commenting. It is not right. Listen, temptations are tempting. Amen? You've heard me say it before. Temptations are what? They are tempting. So you'll be tempted to say things that are out of order. Or you'll be tempted to shut your mouth and say nothing. Listen to me, don't fall for it. You know, I've said before, people think sin. Sin is, you went to catch somebody else's wife. That's a terrible sin, amen? I'm not saying it is good. But you are not likely to do that. And the devil is not going to, you get some temptation where the devil is not going to even bother with. There are some temptations that you don't even realize that they are temptations. And you are falling for them there for every day. Hey, somebody has been kidnapped. What's the next thing you say? What is going on in this country? We don't even understand. These police people serve. Ever since they took them off the road, they are not doing their job again. And we say we have a national security advisor. Why would talk, meaningless talk? Okay, the man that's kidnapped, why don't you start praying for him? We'll talk about the people that allowed him to be kidnapped later. But let's find him first. Why don't you prophesy over him? Okay, that's the third kidnapping you are hearing of in the last few weeks. When has that become a normal thing in my place? I don't like it. So you get up one morning as a spirit of kidnapping. Now me and you today. Or you are not even addressing one spirit of kidnapping. You are just this. You are talking. This will end in this land. This will end in this land. We will not agree. We will not agree. You are not there pointing fingers and apportioning blames. Let me not sit down on that, please. All right? But I'm trying to bring out an issue. Listen, God is not expecting, listen to this, everybody to do right. Listen, I like the way Gordon's, many of you know Gordon's the comedian. Gordon said, when God saw it, he said, I wish. That is, there are things that God just said, I wish that all men would be saved. That is, God is just, and I just wish that all men will agree. What is it? A wish. That is, he's not going to come to pass. He knows. So he doesn't expect everybody to behave properly, to speak properly, to prophesy accordingly. He doesn't expect it. He wishes, but he knows it will not happen. What does he expect? That amongst these people, there are the people I call my prophets. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They are what? My prophets. That is not in Enugu. There are maybe 1 million people in the state or in the city. Not all of them are my prophets. My contention, my trouble, all right, my issue is with those who are what? My prophets. And what am I teaching today? To emphasize to Christians, to believers, that every one of them is his prophet. I want to emphasize it again. That if you are Christian, you are what? He is prophet. I said this last time, let me say it again. Okay, don't forget this thing I said, let me just quickly remind us. Prophecies are for what? Building. We are builders with God, that's what we said last time. We are builders with God. That's our job. Like I was saying a few moments ago, we are not there to comment. We are there to what? To build. We are there to what? Build. That's what we are there to do. To make sure that we are building. Now, how do we build? We build with prophetic words. And when I say build, you know, one of the things about Christians is lack of teaching. Is that they still think, and I need to keep saying it, The ministry that when we talk about building with prophetic words, the thing you prophesy when you are in church, you prophesy over ministry, you prophesy over your life. That is good. But you are supposed to prophesy over even things like water supply. Amen? Amen. Schools, roads, banking, trade. You know, one brother was asking me yesterday, he was doing some consulting for some people, and he told me how Nigerian maritime, the maritime sector is dominated by foreigners. That 99 point something percent dominance by foreigners. Why? Because Nigerians don't own ships much. The ships that are there, they don't man them, they don't own them. How can you man it when it's not your own? You know, stuff like that. At the end of the day, and when the international people are talking, we can't even talk. Because you don't have a boat. You know, when men who have boats are talking, what are you going to say? So I was now discussing with me that, what do I think can be done? I'm bringing an issue here. I'm not going to discuss that in detail. I just want to bring out an issue. That now you have identified that kind of deficiency. The duty of Christians, his prophets. Listen, there's one mistake Christians make. Now I've been saying it again and again. We will now say, believers, let us go out and buy ships. Is it good to buy ships? If you believe it's good, say amen. And I'm in total agreement with you. But if you go out to buy ships, you will not be able to buy ships. Because they are expensive. And they're not the vex buy them. Just wake up and say, I'm angry. How come we don't have ships? Anger will not yield you anything. What you do is that you soften and prepare the ground ahead with words. That's what I'm going to explain. Because what most people do is that they want to ask, okay, what is the strategy? How do we acquire it? Listen, that time will come. And there are those that sometimes, this is how it works. In fact, not sometimes, all the time. There are those that it will be their duty to execute that portion of it. But the first thing is, God said, my prophets, do you think that is good? They say no. So what are you going to do? Say, we'll prophesy. And he said, what do you call prophecy? It's simple. We just simply say to the ships, become ours. And he said, how do you do that? There are words from the Bible. There are scriptural words to confirm that. For example, it's a very simple and general one. Promotion does not come from the east and west. But God is judge. He lifts up, he brings out one and lifts up another. So he said, in this area, we command lifting. We command lifting for this country. Now you say that, and spiritually you set events in motion. Let me tell you something that will happen once, all right? About Boko Haram and stuff like that. When it's going to end, it will end like, one they just realize it has ended. Let me put it like that. It will just end. Now, it will not end because the army became very strong. And because, you see, when people talk, sometimes you know they are speaking out of ignorance. You say that what is wrong with this country? You should know that this spirit that's manifesting in Nigeria as Boko Haram did not start here. You need to be totally ignorant of world events to think it started in Nigeria. It goes by different names in different places. There's Al-Shabaab, the same thing. Are you getting my point? What it's a spirit. Let me summarize it like that. It's a spirit. Looking for where it will what? Destroy. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. What will end it is not human effort. The human effort that will end it will be a manifestation of two things. Divine timing, all right? And the fulfillment of the prayers and prophecies of the saints of God. The thing is a spirit. I'm bringing an issue here. It's a spirit. And when you want to tackle spiritual problems, when you want to tackle problems, that's what makes you a believer. You tackle them spiritually. You know, you go to those so-called civilized countries, they divorce every day. Listen to me. It's a spirit. What did I say? What did I say? It's a spirit. Apart from understanding things generally, I heard Derek Prince explain a prophetic word that somebody gave. That is, somebody, God gave him understanding and visions. And the fellow said that that spirit that was breaking homes was moving into the United States, and it was, and the throne or something like that, I can't remember the words he used, was in Reno, Nevada. Reno, the city in the United States. And Derek Prince said that was the first place in the United States, when this thing began to manifest, It was the first place you could get divorce in 1 hour. At least you wake up this morning. Sebula said, I suppose divorce. So. You walk down to court. You get there 8 o'clock. By 9 o'clock, you're single again. And that was the seat. You see, the Bible talks about where Satan has his throne. That was the seat of that evil spirit. So when you see, don't think that they don't know. You know, that's why I told you. I wrote the book, Should I Say Yes, all right? Because I used to drop things here and there about marriage. And people like Bishop and Co said, look, Oga, put this thing together. And so we finally did. But I've read a lot of books about marriage and stuff like that. And most of the books I read, most. In fact, normally I get tired. I get tired, all right? I don't finish them. Most of the ones I see around, when they talk about how to relate with your wife, how, like the one I always say, how not to forget her birthday, I feel bad. You know why? Because the people are trying to solve a spiritual problem with psychological solutions, and it can't work. It can't work. I found out that that thing is a spirit. It's not because people don't know how to do it. You know, that's not the primary thing. It's a spirit. And when you're under the influence of a powerful spirit, it always wins. It will win. Oh, I don't know where I get my point. It will win. The only way by which you can overcome it is to have a higher spirit. That's it. And you allow that spirit to manifest. Otherwise, it will always win. Like corruption in Nigeria is a spirit. The only people that can fight it and succeed in fighting it, they must have a spirit stronger than it. You know why I'm saying all of these things? I want people to understand how to tackle problems from a spiritual angle. Take that marriage as an example. Well, look, one of the ways by which you cooperate with Satan is to make excuses for him. I don't know what I hear what I said. Yeah, that's one way by which you cooperate with him. You start making excuses and start explaining why it may not be the way God said it should be. I call them excuses for Satan. And if you notice, one thing that God did was to tell Jeremiah to shut his mouth and stop making excuses for Satan. Because he said, I have called you a prophet. That one said, this is the problem. I'm too young. And it makes sense. I mean, if they're sending to old men, big men, and you are a teenager, and you don't know how to stand in presence of great people, it is a very good excuse. But God said, do not say. That's so emphatic. It wasn't just the fact that the man is thinking that he's a youth. He said, but don't give excuses for Satan. Do not say I'm a youth. Don't repeat the reason why the satanic agenda will prosper. As people sitting down, I'm talking about handling it from a spiritual angle. They start explaining, what if the woman is so stubborn and the man is so wicked? Okay, I have seen a situation in which a man brought a cutlass and was torpedoing his wife. Although, if you were from Delta side, you understand what I'm saying. And was chasing his wife around with the cutlass. And they start telling stories and they sit down on those stories and they strengthen the throne of Satan that's been built in their midst. I'm not talking about marriage, but what are we supposed to do? It's simple. If you don't know what to say, keep declaring the word of God. For this cause, he said, he that created them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh. And whatever God has so joined together, let no one, let no situation, let no excuse put asunder. Then say, but I have seen a situation in which, he said, wait, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. Why? He that made them male and female. You understand my point? Let no excuse put them asunder. You are just not being realistic. That's the truth. I am not being realistic according to your reality. I am being realistic according to the creative power of the word of God. You know what? All the excuses you make, they will happen in your life. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Prophetic words don't always have to make sense. And that's why I read from that Isaiah chapter 34. He says, seek from the book of the Lord. What did he say? Seek from the book of who? The Lord. What did he say? Seek, check, look, search, research, investigate from the book of the Lord and read. Don't look at experiences. Seek from the book of the Lord and what? And read. Don't try and explain why and why not. Just seek from the book of the Lord and what? And read. That's what matters. Prophetic words. I said prophecies is a, they are declarations, all right? A prophecy is a declaration of the revealed word of God. Or the revealed will. That's a better way to use it. The revealed will of God. The will of God, a will is a will. What I desire. What I created things to be. That's what God was saying. That's what a will is. It is not what you are seeing. You are getting my point? What a prophecy. That is, if God says it like this. You know, God said to Moses, I will show you a pattern in the heavens, on the mountain now. Then you go down to the earth and you build according to that pattern. The fact that God has a pattern, has a will, is no guarantee that it will come to pass. I said it last time. When we see the pattern, seek from the book of the Lord and read. That's the pattern. Then we now come down to the earth. And let me tell you something about prophecy again. We don't prophesy only when we are consciously prophesying. The Bible says those that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. And the Lord heard. Prophetic is what is not when you just get up. Thus says the Lord. Let me tell you the most powerful ones. You and your wife, you are lying down at night, just discuss. These are our children. I don't know. This boy is so heady. He's so heady. People like him don't amount to anything. I'm really worried. That's the prophetic word. That is a powerful one. I don't know. You know, my father was like that. Very stubborn man. This boy is just becoming exactly like your father. I don't know. My husband. Why is it that the genes in your family? You know, one brother, in fact, he will listen to this one of these days. You know, he came to see us yesterday. We were discussing. I told him I traveled. So, if you see his son, he has hair, you know, the hair on his head. All right? Adult women will envy it. That is, God, bless me with this baby's hair. Full. Very rich. Of course, baby hair, call it one kind like this. The kind where they go cut, sell, and girls go buy them, 50K. So we're just admiring and talking. But my guy now, issues don't they come up for this side. Things were disappearing. You understand what I'm saying? They're not this good. So we're not talking about the boys there. He said, I'm sure he'll keep the hair. He said, because this one no day their side. And pointed to his wife. Now, I don't know whether you hear what I said. That is, me, I'm bald. I'm balding now. But my wife's family, there's no baldness in their lineage. So, this boy, with this rich hair, is going to continue to retain his hair. Now, for your information, those that become bald in hair in life, many of them were born with very rich hair, in case you do not know. All right? Uh-huh. And when they were young, they were, say, cutting Michael Jackson and Brothers Johnson and B. And they had all kinds of, whether now Rihanna, all kind of hairstyle, now they cut. Now I wonder as they grow, things just they drop one by one. You understand what I'm saying? And the Lord was giving the commandment, the thing was dropping. The hair was numbered, but they were removing the number and keeping it somewhere else. You understand what I'm saying? So I told him, I said, oh boy, forget that one. That's where I'm going. I said, forget that one. I have learned not to check where something is or where something is not. That wherever it is or is not, we should learn to create it. Are you getting my point? And let me tell you this thing again. You must understand this. Human beings were, I saw one white man the other day on TV talking. I said, oh boy, this guy is white. Oh. White. When you look, you see some brethren like me. You say, oh boy, this guy is black. Oh. In fact, when they were setting up this stage, I was telling one guy, these lights, are they not too many? He said, oh guy, you black. Oh. That is,
You know, saying, are you going to stand for this platform? So we need all the lights. We had a good laugh here that day. We said, okay, one light here, one light, another light. I said, oh, well, you want to flood this place? He said, oh, God, you black hole. That is. But we're all human beings.